Hello, everyone, and welcome to Not Quite Hollywood, episode 24. I'm Jamie.
I'm Joel.
And I'm Tony.
That's right, the Crabtrees are back, people.
Yes, sir.
High five? Nope.
Thanks.
Sorry. I was just doing some research.
Research? Yeah. It's like we're talking about movies and you need to research your topic.
You didn't take notes?
No, I don't take notes.
I took a number of notes for the last episode.
If you didn't know, this is a podcast where we, on episodes, we discuss movies. We each bring a movie to the table and discuss them. And then even episodes like this one, we talk about a topic. And this week's topics are the hype train and if things live up to expectations. The idea of short films, very generic, very broad, but very exciting.
Generic? It's just open-ended.
That is it an is awful open-ended. Topic. Whoever and, chose that is a real asshole.
And then somebody else happened to choose the Friday the 13th remake. We'll get into that, and its cast, or I should say its crew.
I like to think the topic's more just the Friday the 13th franchise in general.
Sure.
In that general.
Definitely will spawn some conversation.
There's going to be a lot of discussion about that Jason guy.
Probably hear about Joe Vigo some more.
I doubt it.
No,
I'm going to edit every mention of Joe Vigos out right
we'll just
now.
Do like a...
I'm a fan.
Beep. Yep, just bleep it out. Censored. Anytime Joe
Beatrix
Vigos...
Kiddo. Beep.
Don't like it.
Really loud, annoying beep like Beatrix Kiddo.
Should we start with...
We are starting actually with the hype train. Because
hype train. We're starting with the hype train.
We are. Ooh. Because I am still frustrated from last episode.
Last episode, we had a heated discussion about the Suicide Squad.
Yes, and I was...
It wasn't heated.
So
I was heated towards DC.
No hyperbole. Suicide Squad was one of my most anticipated films of this year. Now I'm worried, as a film viewer, as a film connoisseur, that I will not ever trust my anticipation ever again. I'm finding... We talked about this last week. We talked about the movies so far this year and how they're holding up. And, like, this year's was kind of shitty first. In retrospect, a lot of indie films are doing a really good job of keeping this year afloat. But I am worried about the Hollywood machine and how these films are not living up to what they used to be as a very broad stroke overall. This year has been kind of... And I think maybe the past couple years. But... What are your thoughts on the hype train, and what are your thoughts on
the hype train? I love the title.
I do too, but I'm going to jump in quickly here because there's one man that can do the hype train, and there's only one man that can do the hype train.
Joe Vigos?
It is not Joe Vigos.
I almost said Jeff Bezos again.
Jeff Bezos?
Sorry. Go ahead, Joe Vigos.
No, it is J.J. Abrams.
Oh.
Bad sure. Robot. Bad Robot knows how to do the hype
the
train.
The difference between...
Cloverfield. Shut up for a second. Cloverfield. Oh. 10 Cloverfield wow. Lane. Even the original Star Trek, the original teasers for that, just, you know, gave you the tingles a little bit.
Tingles.
The original Star Trek trailer? The teaser trailer?
My point would be...
Oh, that one.
The difference between what Jason...
It's not Indiana Jones, I think.
The difference between what he's doing and what Jamie's talking about is that his hype is more through
shrouded in
secrecy. Don't know, yeah, and that's the fun of it.
But that's the fun of it.
But that's not that. That's different from what Jamie's saying. Jamie's saying.
Well, I get what Jamie's saying, but I'm thinking that there is the possibility to get excited for films based on their marketing and their advertising. It's still possible. It's just the way that certain. I feel like with Jamie, you're a fan of comic books.
Yeah.
A little bit,
yeah.
To some extent.
Oh, yeah, of course.
You know, I see you at the DC premieres. I see you at the Marvel premieres. I probably won't see you at any more DC premieres.
No.
But, you know, the opening night, you're there. You're one of those guys. We're those guys, too. I mean, we show up to that.
I didn't show up to Suicide Squad.
I didn't show up to Suicide Squad, Dad. You were there that night, right?
I went opening night.
You went opening night.
Yeah, I did.
You know, for me, like, you're invested in a product at that point. And, like, you know, I feel like I need to see every Marvel movie in the theater. Because I'm invested.
I don't. I missed Ant-Man, and I don't regret it.
Have you seen it?
Yeah.
I liked Ant-Man. I liked it.
Did you like it as much?
I liked it a lot.
I thought it was all
right. Best Marvel movie of that year. Ultron. Fuck you.
Yeah, sure, whatever.
Yeah, I'll give you that. Even though I did like Age of Ultron.
It's just not as good as Ant-Man. Ant-Man was a lot of fun.
What was it? Corey Stahl's
the villain.
Opinion Ant-Man. That was good. Other than that,
oh, he was great.
Other than that, the movie was just like, eh.
But anyway, my point is, like, you're investing in a product and you get excited for that.
Sure.
Because, like, let's be honest. I mean, I really like DC characters.
Sure.
I want to like these movies. That's why I keep going to these movies. And I feel like that's a different type of hype. If they were to release a Batman teaser tomorrow that didn't reveal much about the movie, I would be really excited.
But you're talking more about brand loyalty more than...
But I think it's part of it, though.
Going into Suicide Squad, I didn't know much about almost any of these characters. I didn't really care about the Suicide Squad much as a kid, let alone know they existed until about 5 years ago. And Harley Quinn, sure, I've known some of her history from the TV show, cartoon show. I mean, a new Batman and Joker were in there, sure. But I went in because of their marketing. Specifically because of their marketing. Like, this is going to be a fun movie. I'm super excited. The first trailer is like, okay, I get it. It's pretty fun. It wasn't as funny as I thought it would be. And the second trailer with the Queen soundtrack, that was like, okay, this shit's awesome.
I liked the trailer. I did.
Yeah, great trailer.
It's a good trailer. I mean,
cut really well. I mean, it sounds terrible now in retrospect because the film wasn't cut really well. But that's what I'm talking about. The hype train is something that you get kind of like lost in. And then when a film falls on its face, it falls so hard. I mean, you're like, especially if you're invested in that initial marketing. I mean, it falls and it hurts. It hurts watching, like, God, and you're the one talking this up to your friends, like, Suicide Squad looks so great.
Yeah, but all your other friends are saying the same thing.
Not if you listen to this podcast.
Well, not that they've seen it. Well, no, not that they've seen it, but, like, I mean, like, I don't know. When I saw the trailer, I had the same reaction you did. I was kind of excited for it. You know, I was skeptical because I'd seen Sabotage.
Sabotage.
David Ayer's Sabotage really put a mark on David Ayer for me. But I think a lot of people were saying the same stuff you were. A lot of people were really excited. You know, it was, and to that credit, DC and Marvel. To credit DC and Warner Brothers, because DC and Warner Brothers created a really good trailer.
Yeah.
And they made people think it was going to be entertaining. They made people think that the Joker was more involved than he really is.
Yep.
And credit to them. They sold a lot of tickets.
Yeah, first weekend. The second drop-off, it was crazy, though.
Both Born and Star Trek. And actually Ghostbusters, all three have taken huge dives on the second weekend. Probably because people aren't all that enthused about it anyway.
Well, because it's a different subject because these movies don't... The movies that you just mentioned, Jason Bourne and Star Trek, don't have the hype that something like a Suicide Squad does.
Well, no. So, I mean, yeah, majority of this hype is, like you said, now the superhero films.
It's all the superhero movies that are getting the hype.
But what's funny, there's a part of this, too. We talked about this a few episodes back. But there's also a problem with oversaturation. In the olden days, like, when the Back to the Future came out, it was word of mouth, like, this movie's so good, you gotta see it.
In the 13th week, it was still number two in the box office.
Exactly. Now it's like, every week there's something vying for that number one spot. So, that's part of it, I think. But, yeah, superhero films are right now what's selling. They're the Western of today. How long it lasts, when that bubble's gonna burst, whenever, we don't know, but they are the biggest hype trains that we have going.
I can almost assure you that DC will be the one to burst it.
Thanks. You're right. You're absolutely right.
Because Marvel actually makes good films.
If August was here, he would kill you. He would stab you right now.
Does he like DC movies?
He just hates superheroes mostly in general.
And that's fine. I'm just talking about from a perspective of an audience perspective. I mean, you can... I know he hated Civil War, and we almost got into it, but he held back, and I appreciate it.
Because that was like the ninth time he mentioned it, to be fair.
All right. Well...
Well, I'm gonna.
You're talking about Castaway now, if you want.
No.
You did it.
Well, I'm gonna chime in here because I do think that. I want to agree with you guys because I think that maybe I'm more agreeing with August here. Superhero movies.
You're right.
They're done and they're played out. And what more do they really have to bring? The last Captain America movie. Civil War. I'm gonna bring this up. Last Captain America movie, Civil War, took a lot from better movies. It took a lot, as far as action sequences, it took a lot from The Raid, like directly from The Raid. There were some parts of those fight scenes that were taken directly from The Raid.
The stairway.
Yeah.
Yep.
And you could go back and you could find other movies where... you know, and I appreciated that it was a superhero movie that was trying to integrate more of the action style that we don't see often into an American Hollywood film. But I think overall, you know what? It's just people are getting sick of superheroes. And I think when Doctor Strange comes out,
it has Cumberbatch in it. There's no freaking way that thing underperforms. You don't even know what you're talking about.
Benedict Cumberbatch opened so many movies.
They just put out a pile of turd that made $135 million opening weekend.
Yeah,
they did the same thing with the Batman and the Superman, and it keeps happening. Yes, I call it that because I refuse to call it Batman v Superman.
By the way, this is what worries me. Doctor Strange is the first Marvel movie that I've seen that even I'm like, what's going on?
It's Inception.
But it's hard because to
just take the visual cues from Inception.
It's hard to describe in that trailer, like for the general audience who doesn't know. I don't know Doctor Strange.
It is more of a teaser trailer.
No, the second one though. The second trailer came out at Comic Con was still like, what the fuck? It's better, but it's still not.
I'm gonna be pretty blunt right now, but a lot of people just simply don't care. They're gonna see Cumberbatch in the film. They're gonna see Marvel's name attached to it. They're gonna say, I want to see this because it's what's in a lot of theaters.
But
it's going
to
happen.
But you know what drives me to this movie? And, the hype train, we're talking about the hype train. And what's driving me to this movie is Scott Derrickson.
See, the cast drives me.
I'm a big Benedict Cumberbatch fan, too. Which also has me excited for this movie. I mean,
Tilda Swinton wouldn't do anything. That's crap. Go ahead. When was the last time she did something?
Snowpiercer is good, don't you dare say it.
When was the last time Tilda Swinton just did a movie for the sake of doing a movie for a paycheck?
I don't know because
Michael Swinton's... Clayton.
We just talked about Tony Gilroy on live.
Trainwreck. I didn't know it was her for a long time.
I didn't know she's in Trainwreck, huh?
She's the boss in Trainwreck.
I didn't think
about
She plays normal person.
It's weird.
I don't remember Trainwreck at all. But no.
That's right.
But Scott Derrickson, he's a director I respect, and I'll go see him for that. Otherwise I'd still go see it because like I said, brand loyalty, Marvel, I've got to see every movie.
Exactly.
But so the first couple like low balls in the Marvel series were Incredible Hulk and Captain America 1.
I'd like Incredible Hulk.
Right? They were the lower end of the overall.
But they built those brands up so that...
Except Ant-Man was very close to the bottom.
Which made money still.
Sure, it made money. I mean, overall worldwide.
It made more than the Hulk and it made more than Captain America, the original. And
but we've never had Mark Ruffalo as the Hulk.
I know. That's actually
what he needs his own movie.
I love it. He's going to be against fracking the whole time. He's going to be the Hulk fighting against fracking.
Or against like Catholic priests.
Everybody's a film. I'm watching the real life Mark Ruffalo.
I don't keep track of Mark Ruffalo's Twitter account.
I do. But anyway, no. My point would be is actually Guardians of the Galaxy was the test. Ant-Man.
Sure.
Those are the tests. And they pass with flying freaking colors.
Well, the reason why Guardians of the Galaxy did so well is because James Gunn's behind it.
Well,
if you put a good name behind
No.
But we also mentioned it last episode, right? That they've been slowly building towards these points. Like, first it was real world stuff. Like, Iron Man was like, I built a suit. Hulk was the only real standout in the Avengers. Like,
Thor was
first
totally.
Phase.
Thor is totally.
Thor even explained it, like, what you think is magic, we call science.
Which, by the
way... Even that line made a lot more sense compared to what Batman vs. Superman or Suicide
Superman
could have
said. Those other movies, though, the Thor movies are the ones that don't profit as well as the other ones.
Yes, it was Thor. Sorry,
which
not Captain America.
But at the same time, they still keep making them, so whatever.
Well, they have a story to tell. They're using them... I mean, they're using Thor 3 essentially for a Planet Hulk movie...
Yeah, I don't
finally,
know.
Finally, Ruffalo.
Because, by the way,
more Ruffalo.
You said this, but so you know, Universal is prohibiting the fact that they can't make a Hulk-led movie anymore without Universal having to have the option to distribute it. So they're just cutting that out altogether. Because Universal could say, yeah, because of the rights issue. They could say, yeah, I could still distribute it. Whatever. Point is, that's why they're not doing it. That's why Planet Hulk is part of Thor 3. But, back to my point, I think with... Doctor Strange is the first one I had seen where I'm kind of concerned because the marketing, I never had an issue with Guardians of the Galaxy. I heard the cast before the trailer came out. This is going to be fun. James Gunn, done. I'm in.
Sold.
Super is awesome.
Slither.
I mean, Slither's great. I mean, come on.
Right, but, Tromeo and Juliet. You guys are already, no offense, they get James Gunn, you guys, that $17 to $20 million worth of tickets kind of already sold.
Sure,
it's less than that.
It's a built-in hype.
Look at what Slither made.
But at the
not
same
much.
Time, you should have guys lend it the credibility. But at the same time, it's still the people, the common film goer who is going to go see this thing no matter what. and they did this weekend, and that's what I'm saying.
Yeah, but
they,
more people went to see, and this is the thing, more people went to see Guardians of the Galaxy because it was good, because it was made
right.
by somebody who...
And it kept going because of the word of mouth,
right.
yes.
Mm-hmm.
But then
whereas this is going to drop.
But you look at your example... Yeah, Suicide Squad and Batman vs. Superman made a lot of money the first weekend.
Still, despite.
But they drop. Because the marketing's was so good. It got me. It got a lot of people. It fooled everybody.
It's not marketing at that point. It's just, I like Batman, I like Superman, I'm going to go see a movie.
But I mean, like, for Suicide Squad, that wasn't completely unheard of team, just like Guardians.
I thought Batman was in the movie. Sold.
But they're going to lose money, like they did for Batman vs. Superman, because they're putting way too much money in the marketing. And the movie costs
they're gonna lose money.
Batman vs. Superman did.
I'd like to see those numbers. I'd love to see those numbers.
There's upward. They say upwards of like $400 million with marketing included. Maybe $500 million.
Yeah, but worldwide.
Yeah, but how much do they really get from China?
Things killing it. Probably a lot.
Not as much as
Ask the Warcraft.
Have.
Ask the Warcraft.
No. But how much money do they actually
get? No, but Batman vs. Superman because
you get the money. It doesn't matter how much money it makes. How much did you actually receive?
They go to China, and they get a little briefcase. Because that's all the money it made in China. Just saying.
I guess
it doesn't make the money in China.
I guess it's disappointing. What I'm saying is I'm disappointed by the fact that the hype train does exist.
Mm-hmm.
And we, as the moviegoers, give it the power to exist. Not you guys necessarily, but just in general.
Well, no, I agree with you here, but I think the hype train...
The hype train, which we've titled the segment.
But I think it's good for a lot of things. I think it's good for movies that are like 10 Cloverfield Lane, for example, which otherwise...
Different! You're
no,
it's missing
different.
The
Hang
point!
On, I'm not...
No, I get what he's saying, though.
No.
Like, the smaller films.
Blair Witch, for example.
Yeah.
Now has a lot of hype around it because of how they marketed it. Before this, people would have been like, oh, a Blair Witch movie? You know what I'm sick of hearing? When people say, oh, a new horror sequel? What is that,
but
the 10th movie?
You're thinking...
There are only 3 Blair Witch movies, but people are going to remember the last one. Now they're not. They're going to remember the marketing
here we go.
And advertising.
Here we go. You ready for this? Those movies...
Adam Wingard's a genius. Yes.
Sure. I'm not going to argue, but they're doing that organically. They're getting people interested organically. They're not paying people.
It's not organic. Isn't that organic?
But
that's
again,
very organic.
But then again,
here's
the thing, right? Adam Wingard, his hype train was his filmography.
There you go. That's the other thing.
But
the movie
was
already...
The
they
Woods.
Were about the Woods
we were all excited about The Woods.
Right. But how many people would go see The Woods because this guy directed Your Next? How many people would see Your Next? I was in the theater opening
not
weekend. I can tell you, not a lot.
Sure.
But
after, like, The Guest or, you know...
But The Guest didn't even make money, really.
No, but it's a fucking great film.
It's a great movie.
It deserves
right.
a lot more recognition.
But the point is here, without the advertising of Lionsgate behind it and without the sort of trick advertising that they've done, there really wouldn't be much hype around it besides it's a new Blair Witch movie.
Freaking kidding me.
And then people will be like, oh, a new Blair Witch movie? Because a lot of people don't know.
They're
going to
be like that
nothing.
Anyway. Okay, so the number of people who... Okay. So the people who you're talking about don't know that Blair Witch even exists.
With social media these days.
Facebook tells me what to listen to, so they know me well enough so they know what I'm listening to. They know those people well enough to know that they're not listening to the Blair Witch.
I don't know.
So the people you're talking about aren't going to care anyway. It's the same thing like The Witch. The Witch is like a small market, you know what I mean? It's not.
Yeah,
going
but The
to,
Witch made money.
It made money, but it made money off the
people. And then
people
are disappointed, right?
That
exactly.
was that was hype.
Yeah,
that
word
hype,
of mouth.
Though.
Same difference.
Which is
though.
Weird, because when we got IRR showing, people were like, this fucking sucks.
Yes, everyone hated it except
I
for
was
me.
Like one of the only
I was
people
like, this
ever
is the greatest thing ever, and everyone else hated it.
But my point is, though, hype is good for some movies. And the hype does work for some movies, where then it spreads because there's word of mouth behind it. These movies are going for hype for opening weekend. And
which is
where you make
the
most of your money, yeah.
It's where you make most of your money, but at the same time, there's no longevity to that. Like, I don't
no,
know.
No, and honestly, the hype train's good in the sense for these smaller films.
Hype train.
That's not my phrase, by the way. That's very common.
I've heard it.
It's okay.
It.
Thank you.
The hype train?
I know, I've heard
phrase.
It before.
My point would be, so let's say it opens at $135 million. We know it's going to drop off 65%.
Sure.
Where does that leave it? Still making probably ultimately $250, $300 million. In
overall,
the U.S. alone.
Sure. But that's what hype trains are made for. That's what the hype is there for, is to get that big opening number. So
right.
theoretically, even if the word of mouth is bad, because it made so much money, wow, the number one movie in America, I gotta go check it out. Some people won't hear their
and
friends
the say
and
that's...
a lot of people don't even go to watch the movies. They just pay, they buy the ticket, they sit there with friends. It's a social thing.
Sure.
Like, I remember when we
now
were going
this,
to...
This is
no,
the
no,
August
no.
that I know.
No. We were going to a movie. Joel and myself were going to a movie. And we ran into I Teach, and one of my students is in line. And she was with her boyfriend, and they were buying tickets for the Avengers. And I was like, oh, I didn't know you like the Avengers. I don't remember this, by the way. I remember very well, as my student, so I was talking to them. You probably weren't. No. And I was like, oh, I didn't know you like the Avengers. And she was like, yeah, I don't know. And turns out the movie had started like 20 minutes ago.
Oh, wow.
They don't care. They're just buying tickets.
And that's actually where I'm going with this, is that a lot of people just simply don't care. They will literally follow whatever you put $100 million in marketing into, and they'll go to the theater to see it just because. They'll walk out and be like, oh, that's pretty good.
Unless you're Ghostbusters.
Unless you're Ghostbusters, in which case all the guys hate you. Even this guy.
No. What?
That's
what?
Not why he dislikes.
No, I know. I'm just messing with you. Because we talked about this in the previous episode. Okay.
So
Charlize Theron.
To sum it up,
do you think the hype train has a place in film? Do you think hype is necessary?
Marketing.
Yeah, but I mean, like, it's so much more than marketing now. Because it is marketing. Everything about hype is marketing. But is it necessary?
I'm gonna join in here and just quickly give my final opinion.
You're gonna join in?
Well, I feel like you were gonna talk and then I'm gonna take over. I think it is necessary. And I think not only that, it can be helpful. When I see something like Cloverfield and I immediately like respond to that teaser trailer and I want to know more, it's just, it's got to be done right. And when it's something that gets you excited for, you know, something that it turns out to be kind of a mess, like Suicide Squad, you know, it's disappointing. But at the same time, if it can be done right and studios can learn from their mistakes, they don't. But if studios learn from their mistakes and hold a little back, make me intrigued by it. Mm. You win me over. J.J. Abrams wins me over every time. Even the Star Trek trailers didn't give much away.
No.
And I talk about, you know, that first Star Trek teaser. The I'm going to go to the Star Wars teasers, the Rogue One teasers. Every time gets me.
Yeah. I mean, I think J.J. and what they're doing with Rogue One, they all do a really good job at, like, giving you just a little bit.
And it's just Marvel in general. And it's Marvel. It's Disney. Mm-hmm. I feel like they give me just enough. I mean, not so much Marvel anymore, because Marvel is its own thing now. But Disney, the way they... I mentioned earlier in one of these days, I think maybe we were talking off mic even, Pete's Dragon as a joke.
We actually mentioned Pete's Dragon.
Did we? Was it this episode?
No, last episode.
Last episode? I remember mentioning Pete's Dragon. But like Pete's Dragon, like, I've never seen the cartoon.
Nor have I.
But at the same time,
I'm super psyched for the movie.
I was super psyched for the movie because I was like, what's that dragon look like?
Isn't Pete's Dragon like dragon?
Now I've seen the
part, not?
Yeah, CGI dragon.
It's part animated.
You're talking about the original. I don't know about the original.
Like Space Jam. Yeah.
I haven't seen the original.
I think they did.
Yeah, like Space Jam.
But I'm really excited for the new one. You know, director of Ain't Them Body Saints.
Oh, I didn't know that, actually.
Yeah.
Weird.
I'm really excited for it. But my point is, like, the hype they built around that and the hype they're building around Beauty and the Beast, with their subtle
that
sort of like...
That's not subtle. That thing sold itself
They're not showing much. They're not giving much. Because
they don't have much to show you yet.
That's not the point. The point is these teasers are working.
Have you guys ever been let down before from marketing?
Every day.
Lockdown.
Movie Lockdown with Guy Pierce?
He's joking. Actually, Jurassic World, the Godzilla remake, what was the guy's name?
Yeah, Gareth Edwards.
Who I loved. I loved Monsters was great, but that movie was not good.
And the trailers were good for it.
The trailer was the best scene in the movie
with the parachuting.
Yeah, that was so good, and that scene is so good. But
you wanted it to go so differently after that.
You can't really go any better. Like, that's the best scene in the movie, and that's the best scene probably of all that summer.
But that's the
only really good thing about the film.
My problem with the film is Godzilla was the hype train focused on Godzilla. And this mysterious sort of Godzilla, they didn't really reveal entirely. Like,
they did, but
you saw a little bit, but you didn't see everything necessarily.
But they
gave you more than the 98 version. But, like, my problem with that Godzilla was that Godzilla was not the, to use wrestling terms, heel. Godzilla's got to be the villain.
No. That's the point of the... That's the whole... No,
Godzilla has to be the villain that you identify with and you feel bad for, but ultimately Godzilla's got to be taken down because Godzilla's taken down Tokyo. Or, in this case, wherever we were. What was it? San Francisco, yes. L.A. Was it San
Portland,
Francisco?
Maine.
No. Portland, Maine.
He rose up from the...
Pretty sure.
Why not?
Old Port is
from
gone.
What, Tony?
From the ocean.
What body of water do they have in Portland? That was a middle finger.
That's the Atlantic.
Okay, so
is it the Atlantic? I need to know now.
Yes.
I want to chat really quickly about
the
hype machine. I believe the hype machine? The hype machine will exist and will continue to exist. I think that people who go to the movies just need to be a little more cinema savvy, some might say.
Oh!
No, but they need to be a little more savvy as to what they're seeing. Don't just go for the sake of going. Go and know what you're going to see and think about it while you're there. Because if you're not thinking about a movie while you're there, then what are you even doing there? And that's what
you're asking a lot of the audience right now.
I am asking a lot of the audience. I think that we should ask a lot of the audience because movies didn't make $700 million in the U.S., 20, 30 years ago.
10 years ago.
Well,
inflation.
Actually,
have you seen the price of a ticket?
Titanic made $600 million.
So. Well, Titanic can suck it.
But my point is that these movies, you get inflation, but you also get just mass amounts of people just going to movies for the sake of going to movies and then coming out and simply saying, I liked it. They can't tell you why. They can't tell you what about it they liked. People are coming out of the movie liking Suicide Squad without any explanation just because I like it. It's not a Marvel movie. I'm a DC guy. And I'm like, that doesn't really say anything.
It's like walking out of the movie and saying, I liked Will Smith in it.
That's what you did. But no,
I did like Will Smith in the movie.
So I guess my point is that there will be marketing. There will always be marketing. There will always be this hype machine. There will always be this intrigue to go and see a movie.
It's hype train?
That's what I said.
You said hype machine.
Either way. Same thing.
I don't like hype machines. We've been on the hype train
That's the segment.
Let's not get off of it.
But no, the hype train. So there will always be this hype train, but you don't have to buy into it at the end of the day. Go to see the movie. I don't care. Just be honest with yourself about what you think of it.
Yeah, but what if they actually do enjoy it?
Then fine.
What if it's mindless? You know, again, like, we're talking about...
We can't keep going through movies being mindless.
We can't, but at the same time, not every audience member is going to be the same as we are.
No.
Some people look to escape their reality with these films, and they want to see Will Smith shoot shit up.
You know what? You can stay home and watch that in sci-fi original series.
Or and they watch those as well.
And they can stay home and watch those. That's fine. That's what those are for. They're cheap. They're
expensive.
Yeah, but
they pay to go to the theater. And, you know, you talked about The Witch earlier. People walked out of The Witch hating The Witch.
They shouldn't have been there in the first place.
But this is like, you know, I know we've had arguments with a certain friend of ours in the past about why certain movies don't open wide. There's a reason why.
I don't know who we're talking about, but yeah, sure.
Okay.
No, well, yeah.
Twin territory here about a conversation we had once upon a time.
Well, you know, we are the... Twinsploitation.
Twin critics.
I can get the brothers fighting right now. That's really
good.
It happens all the time. Anyway, don't
worry. So go ahead, Jamie. Go ahead. Tell me more about what you were going to say.
No, I was just going to say, I mean, one of the bigger hype machines, the hype trains, with Marvel, they did a lot of interstitial stuff, like, you know, short films, which is our next topic.
The short films always appear on, like, the DVDs and the Blu-rays. And
yeah.
Everyone loved
them. Item 47.
And that was the only one I remember, because that's the only one people watched. I think they skipped the rest of them.
Lizzie Kaplan?
Yeah, was she in that? Oh, Lizzie Kaplan. Cloverfield's own.
Uh-huh.
Oh, I loved Cloverfield.
I love Lizzie Kaplan.
Lizzie Kaplan's great, but Cloverfield is better.
Cloverfield's better than one person.
One single person. I mean, she's great and all, but Cloverfield is the whole of
You can't
everything.
Do Cloverfield unless Jason falls off the bridge. That's
oh,
you.
Oh, yeah, Jason... Oh,
that's
well,
sad.
Well, no, he was
kind of
forced off that bridge.
Yes, he was forced off the bridge.
So he didn't really fall. You've seen Cloverfield, right, Jamie?
Yeah, but I'm really curious to hear what Joel has to say about short films.
Cloverfield is a short film.
It is short. It's like 77 minutes long. I freaking love that movie.
So I guess my topic is just... So I've recently... There was an IndieWire piece recently in the last couple of weeks about...
Who's it written by?
It's actually a collection of critics.
Staff piece,
yeah. It's a collection of critics about just some of their favorite short films. So it has me, thinking about this differently and going to Short of the Week, which is a site that I frequent, but at the same time, it comes and goes, but it has me going there more frequently this, you know, in the past couple of weeks, checking out a lot of the material that they've posted, but just watching shorts and viewing them in a different light. So it's intriguing to me because a lot of the material you'll see in, you know, 15, 20 minutes is, as, you know, it competes with a lot of things you'll see in multiplexes, except obviously it's, you know, 15, 20 minutes. So there's a lot of talent here. There's a lot of people out there in the past and in the present making these brilliant short films. And I just wanted to point out, you know, some of the ones that they mentioned in the piece are Le Jeté, and I think Thunder Road, which is a new one, or relatively new.
Is that Mad Max movie?
No, it's a Sundance comedy. It's
I know what Mad Max Fury Road is.
We're well aware, Tony.
I also love that movie.
So I guess, you know, it got me thinking, and I think quite frequently about Le Jeté, which is like the first time I think that I ever watched a short that stuck with me.
Still to this day.
Yes, still to this day. Thank you.
It haunts you.
I love how dramatic you made that, but I was just going to say, it just made me consider, you know, this whole art form in a different light. How people, you know, obviously it was the inspiration for 12 Monkeys, and but it's a film that has endured, despite the fact that it is, what, 20-something minutes long. And I find it fascinating. So I was going through, and I did watch a number of the ones that were that the IndieWire crew, like Amy Nicholson's suggestion of Thunder Road. I went through and I watched quite a few of these, and it just kind of got me thinking, you know, what are some of the shorts? And I know that one of our panelists here, Jamie, makes his own shorts. So I'm just kind of curious what it is that inspires you. And I know, oh no, I embarrassed him.
No, it's fine.
Oh no.
Hey, what is Zombie Huntress over here? What is that?
One of our other, he tries to make short films too.
I made one.
So I guess
3 hours.
My question was, my biggest thing was, there's not really a market for short films. You know, there, it's more of a showcase piece, but at the same time, it can't always be that way, right? So what are the goals? And I'm looking at Jamie in particular, who you know has made these in the past, and Tony,
real short films. I have made fake short films.
I guess my thought process here is that, you know, a lot of them, like I watched one with that was produced by Eli Roth. You know, about a guy who brings a live chainsaw into a haunted house, and it's interesting to me because I wonder what is that monetarily, what are the kickbacks for that? How do you make the money back? I also talked with a guy at MIF, I bring up Maine International Film Festival again, Philip Ramos, whose film was playing there, and I'm just kind of curious, and I gotta ask him myself, but I'm just kind of curious. I don't know, I haven't yet. I haven't watched his film yet, that's the thing.
Well, holy shit. You hear that? He listens to the
podcast. Philip Ramos!
No, so he knows that, though. I said I would let him know when I did watch it, but
He'll die by the phone.
He's
80 years later.
Refresh.
Well, he was explaining to me that his film has, I mean, and it has. His short has gone, you know, it's toured across the country, and it's, I believe it played at Cannes, and I was like, he's done things with it. But my question is what comes of that? Jamie, enlighten me.
Short films are only ever a calling card or part of a resume. Short films are ever rarely actually something you make money off of.
Right. Unless you're in the Pixar world.
Well, actually, no.
They don't get paid a lot.
I'm sure those Pixar guys get paid a lot for when they put something
on. Probably staff.
Exactly. Anyway. I was going to say,
if I could jump in
Finding Dory.
There.
No.
No, you pretty much shut you down, actually,
no.
Simultaneously.
I appreciate what you're saying because you're right. They mostly these days act as a calling card. And one of the things that I... Recently, there was a filmmaker who did a film called Kiss Kiss Finger Bang.
Okay.
It's
really
a short film.
That's really funny, by the way.
It's a short film. It's funny. And it's by Anton Yelchin. And it's 2015.
Uh-huh. You know. So I don't
think it's sad. Well, no, it's a funny movie, but that's the reason I watched it, is because initially it came to my attention because it had an actor I knew.
Right, and that's
and
actually
that's one of the
something
you'll...
And
that's watch it, right.
Right.
But she was raising money for her next film. And part of her point was she did Kickstarter. And I generally don't necessarily like Kickstarter all that much. But her point was, for short films, where else are you going to get the money? Because you don't make money from these things.
And that's kind of my question, is how do you... I mean, you can get...
Yeah.
There are ways to get funding for films. But at the same time, and this is maybe not something for you guys, because I don't know if you guys know all, have all the answers. James seems to have more than you.
Well, so. I'm gonna jump in also and say, though, that anthology films are becoming a bigger thing.
Yeah.
Well, and one of the things...
ABC's of Death.
I just, from Drafthouse Films, this is not a plug, but Drafthouse Films just released ABC's Death 2.5.
Whoa, what?
Where they took... Okay, so 26 of the people that did M, because M was the one that you submitted for...
Yeah, actually, Corey Nolan.
Well, he wasn't on there.
No, but he submitted, and he...
Well, he didn't get chosen.
He was not chosen.
And he didn't get chosen for ABC's Death 2.5 either, so I'm not sure where Corey Norman ended up.
Wait, M was the one that was the the.
So it was fan open to fans.
Right.
The thing was, you couldn't be more than 3 minutes long. So what I did was they just released it. You download it. It's like $6, $7 or something. You stream it online, and it's only through Vimeo. But the point is, I saw 26 short films from different directors from around the world. None of which were Corey Norman. And I don't mean to say that in a way, but
none of them
were chosen.
I really love Tickled,
Tickled's fantastic.
Sorry, what? Tickled? Not the movie coming out.
Not Tickled, no.
Okay.
Tickled is about this.
No, we got it wrong. It's Tickle.
Oh.
We're saying Tickled, which is...
Oh, we're rehearsing
the
example, whatever. I like Corey Norman. I'm not putting him down or anything, but he wasn't on there.
Because
I was looking out to see if it was anyone I knew, and no one I knew was on
I thought you were probably
on
the voting. I don't know.
No, so they released 26 of these filmmakers I've never seen. Now, monetarily, what did they gain?
$7 a piece.
Maybe not much, but at the same time, their films were being viewed by... more people than would normally view a film of that nature, because it comes with a brand, ABC's of Death, and you can look back at VHS Holidays. Did you see Holidays?
I liked Holidays.
There are certain parts I didn't like, but for the most part I liked it.
Maybe I have a whole lot.
But there are these anthology films that are getting made, and they're using filmmakers who aren't necessarily as well established.
Sure. Except for Adam Wingard
and Ty West. And
I was going to say, which one was the one who did the Quackers?
And Joe Swanson.
Quackers? That was Adam Wingard.
No, that was Adam Wingard.
Oh,
yeah,
that was hilarious.
That
was my favorite one.
Libido ones.
And Joe Swanson. And all these.
There are some fucked up ones.
Yes, that's the one
I hate to say this, Larry Fessenden's is probably my least favorite of ABC's
Death
2.
Which one
was that?
I haven't seen two.
But ABC's Death 2... I love Larry Fessenden. It just didn't feel right.
So I guess one of the things that I was actually thinking about was when you go back and read Stephen King's Graveyard Shift, for example, and you're seeing this cohesive series of short stories. Why don't they do that more in cinema? Is my question.
Well, I think they are doing it more in horror cinema. Movies.
Yeah, you named the
ABC's
the
Death,
VHS,
Holidays.
Right, Holidays.
One that Corey Norman's a part of, Monsterland.
I don't know Monsterland.
Well, Corey Norman's a part of it.
Which one's that?
I don't know. I haven't seen it yet.
Okay, there we go.
It's an anthology film, though.
Right.
How about Vacation, Damnation Land?
That's not a film. That's
counts.
They really... Counts. All right, fine, whatever.
I don't know.
So anyway, Jamie, what are your favorite... some of your favorite shorts? Let me ask you. What do you look for in a short?
I don't look for them much anymore because
I'm making them.
I haven't made them in a while. But
you're gonna.
To me, a short has to be... And this is completely antithetical of what my shorts have been. terse and to the point and have a meaning. Have something to say. I've always had a problem with brevity in my stuff.
Okay.
But I think it's just because I haven't done enough edits, enough drafts. My first short that I made was longer than I needed to be, and then in the end I realized, oh my god, this character made a fucking terrible decision. Why did I do this? Why did I catch it sooner? I did four drafts of it, five or six maybe even. But it's something that just kind of slips by you. You don't realize it. I mean, the whole idea for the story essentially could have been avoided, and that's a bad thing. Like, you want to have a good. You want
so
to say
it's
something.
Like it's like changing lanes.
I like changing lanes.
I don't remember
lanes.
Much about
I do
changing
too,
lanes.
Still, you get the point.
Don't you dare.
You still get the point. It's like, and which is not a short, by the way, but a short feature length film. It's short. It's like, all right. It's under 100 minutes.
Yeah.
Anyway,
it's a segue into our next subject, obviously. Yes, short films.
Yeah,
wrap
so I look for a good hook. I look for the acting has to be well enough. It doesn't have to be a standout actor. It doesn't have to be a big name, but it helps sometimes.
What I want and what I don't always get is something that is smart enough to live in a world that is shorter to understand what the audience is looking for. I just think sometimes movies come off either cheap or they come off like you're trying to do too much in too little time, whatever the case may be. And I guess, like I said, you know, it depends on the genre as well, which is interesting to me, because horror is a whole different genre, and you can do that very well.
Not that it doesn't work, though.
It sometimes doesn't work, and that's
you've gotta really be skilled at that brief moment.
So like the IndieWire critics, because we're just as good, no doubt. Tell me your favorite short films, guys.
It's not something I like. I have a.
Yeah,
you should have told us this
here.
Before.
No!
This is really
bizarre.
It's
the element of surprise.
Legitie is really good.
There's a very bizarre on Hard Boiled, the DVD, the Criterion DVD. There's this very bizarre short film that John Woo made. So friggin' weird. It's like some kid drinking blood or something. I don't even remember what it is anymore because I couldn't watch the whole thing through, I don't think. That's my favorite.
Another
my favorite.
No, it's not really.
I'm really just messing
another
with you.
Short,
you don't tell me your favorite.
No, another short. I do admire it a lot. Yeah. Anyway.
Kung Fury does not fit in between. It's not feature length, so it's got to be short.
Uh-huh.
And Kung Fury, David Hasselhoff.
David F. Sandberg. Yes, he did a whole bunch of horror shorts, and he eventually made the feature of his short Lights Out.
Oh yeah.
Feature fucking blows though.
It doesn't work.
How on earth
did
I not mention? You know what's funny is actually the whole point of the IndieWire piece
was about Lights Out.
So I watched Lights Out. Yeah, yeah. No.
Saw aside from a short tale. It's
watched Lights Out and I thought it was despite
the short, not the feature.
The short, not the feature. I haven't seen the feature, although you're shaking your head no. But
don't watch it.
I
didn't like it. There are certain parts that I actually like, and actually I will say this: it worked for its audience, PG-13 audience. It got everyone in that theater.
Sure, I guess.
Because there were a bunch of teens in that theater with me, and those teens, they spilled
friggin'
M&M's everywhere. How do you spill M&M's?
I hate rolling candy in a theater.
Let's get back to the short.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. But Lights Out, that's one of those that, like I said, that's you watch it and you're like, you know, it's not a perfect movie. It's not a perfect short, even. It doesn't even make sense.
That's a good concept.
But it's a great concept. It's a good... That's the thing that gets me.
Well,
concept.
That's what I like.
And this
yeah.
is what, this
right.
is what kind of what Jamie was talking about, though. Calling card.
Yeah.
It acted as a calling card for something bigger.
And that's the point.
And now he's going to make Lights Out, too. But I will also say, very quickly, you know, Kenneth Anger's stuff. If anyone's seen Kenneth Anger's work, he did Scorpio Rising, did a lot of shorts. Very experimental stuff, very, you know, and there used to be more room for artistic experimental shorts that don't exist anymore because there's no place to even
right.
show them.
And
yeah.
that's kind of like a movie like, not to go back to my initial...
Majete?
Yeah, not to go back to that, but...
Something like that would be lost in the shuffle.
Something like
days.
That would totally never make it out of the gate these days.
Unless it's shown in front of a Pixar movie.
Unless they showed it in front of, like, Dory 3.
CGI.
Dory just forgets where she's going all the time. Dory 3, everyone.
Yeah, no, I
she just doesn't
yeah.
get it.
Finding death.
That's dark.
That's
fitting.
Dark. She's going to die in a couple years anyways, Tops, right? Tank fish don't live long.
They've lived long
tank
enough.
Fish? The point is...
Talk about the
fish.
Type of fish, not the he's not
oh,
saying it's tank
I'm sorry,
fish.
I didn't know that. I don't know what type of fish Dory is.
Well,
sorry,
you fucking
guys.
Should, Joel. You dropped the ball. You're not in this podcast anymore. Joel
no.
needs to stop.
I'm just a guest anyway. I'm not John.
But
yes,
speaking of John.
We need a speaking of guests right now.
John.
Because Tony has a topic I'm really excited for.
He does.
I've got a super exciting topic.
Guest that you don't want is the guy we're about to talk about.
Holy shit.
His name is not
Segway.
John.
He's got a notebook, everybody.
So if you guys remember Joe Bigas.
Joe Bigas.
Damn it, I bleep that out.
I seriously hope you do bleep out Joe Bigas every time we say Joe Bigas.
I love the guy. He should be better.
Does anyone ever say
all
Joe
right,
Bigas?
So, I used to pronounce it Bigas, and then I was corrected.
That's how you pronounce
the
word I'm driving down. To
I said Bigas. No, I didn't Bigas.
It's a Bagos.
Well, my bad. Anyway, so my topic is
Jamie's just shaking
segueing right into this. If you like short films, I don't know what to tell you. Breck Eisner's directed some. I haven't watched them. Yeah, he did.
Oh, that's nice.
Anyway, so recently, for me it was yesterday. For you guys, it was a week and a day ago. It was announced that Breck Eisner is in talks, it's not an official thing, to direct the Friday the 13th, either sequel or reboot or whatever they're going to do.
Soft reboot,
with it.
Probably.
I'm not sure what they're going to do.
So
with
they signed him on
now,
officially?
Considering that the last Friday the 13th film I was not a fan of.
2009
wasn't a fan of it. I don't recall if I hated it that much, but I remember disliking it quite a bit. Breck Eisner, for those who don't know, did Sahara, The Crazies, and of course the Vin Diesel vehicle, The Last Witch Hunter.
Awesome.
So, you know, there are some split decisions on the internet about Breck Eisner being put at the helm of the next Friday the 13th film. So, you know, the discussion that I was going to have was just, what are our thoughts on the next Friday the 13th film, and what does the film need to have? I mean, for me, I'll start us off because it's my topic. I don't hate Breck Eisner as a choice, to be honest. You know, I know that a lot of people are pointing to something like Blair Witch, where Adam Wingard's involved, or something like Halloween, where Rob Zombie's involved. Like it or not, they were bold choices, and those were real filmmakers. Not to say that Breck Eisner isn't a real filmmaker, but at the same time, he's always had a lot of studio backing, and the name Eisner kind of goes hand in hand with Disney. Studios, Disney, Paramount back in the day. And actually, the thing is, Michael Eisner was in charge of Paramount when Friday the 13th movies were being made, and they were being shoved kind of aside, even though they're making money. So I don't hate the idea of Breck Eisner, but at the same time, I'm trying to think of someone who would be better suited for the film, or something that would be better suited for the Friday the 13th franchise, found footage.
Right.
Anyone says found footage, Jason, I am going to hit them in the nutsack. Anyone.
Yeah, that doesn't sound like a good idea. But who would you want as a director, Tony?
Joe Vigos?
No? Vigos, cast away.
In all seriousness, I don't feel like, and this is just me, I feel like the audience has a love for Friday the 13th.
Right.
But yes. I can't think of a single director who would bring that love to the screen. I know Quentin Tarantino has expressed his interest in the franchise.
Why don't we meet in the middle?
He's talking about doing an alternate version.
What did Eli Roth do with this film?
But again, I love Eli Roth.
We love Eli Roth.
Is Eli Roth someone who's suitable for this?
Yes.
The fact is, I think maybe Breck Eisner's right because you need a gun for hire. You need someone who's not going to shake things up. I believe the last director was Marcus Nispel.
Who was, again, similar in nature.
But Marcus Nispel had a lot of credit for The Last Texas Chainsaw Massacre, which people liked. And I think he was trying to shake things up a little bit.
I didn't like the last one. I don't really love the franchise.
I think we talked about the franchise
in the last episode or three episodes ago now.
Mm-hmm. So, well, let's go with this then.
You know, I don't love the franchise because it's meant to be left where it is. It's a thing of its time,
and in that sense,
it's a thing of its time. And in that sense, why are we touching it? Why are we trying to bring it back? And I think that's what they're trying to do in the last one in 2009. They were trying to bring it back to what that Texas Chainsaw Massacre can be translated throughout time. I think that that's something that's different than what Friday the 13th is and it represents.
Okay.
Friday the 13th represents something that is of an era gone.
Could I jump in? Okay, so you're saying it's of an era gone, but...
See, that was actually the thing I was going to not say because it doesn't make sense. But please, go ahead.
Well, no, I didn't want to interrupt you if you said something to say.
But you just repeated it.
Okay, Stranger Things right now is really popular on Netflix.
Yeah.
It's a throwback. People are enjoying this sort of throwback stuff. Why don't you take the 1980s and put Friday the 13th
They might.
I think that's what the Friday franchise
needs.
They
might.
Because the franchise doesn't work these days. Horror movies in general, a lot of them don't work because of cell phones. Period.
Yeah,
but cell phones don't work in certain places. Everyone knows.
Yeah, but let's be honest. How few places?
I can tell you there's a good stretch in Orington.
In Orington.
If there is a slasher in that one stretch and he gets my tires, it's over.
One day, cell phone reception will be everywhere. Ubiquitous.
Right.
And there'll be no excuse. Unless they're broken. But
break those things in the first scene.
I need
break it.
Yeah.
To address something.
Yes, please.
You asked what I wanted...
What do you want?
In the new Friday the 13th.
That's exactly
what
I asked.
What do you want?
When I saw the 2009 remake, I had a good time.
What?
I'm glad you had a good time. I know a lot of people who did enjoy it.
It was clever in some ways where, like, the fast travel was explained. He had tunnels under the ground.
You know what's sad is I actually heard this in three episodes ago. So I think
really? Did I say that?
A little bit, yeah. You mentioned it.
Okay. But I've always liked the series, right?
Yeah, yeah.
And it definitely wasn't as good as even the campier Friday 13th in the original series.
Like that terrible Part 7.
Part 7 is
See,
awesome.
Part 8 has my...
8's great.
Which one's Manhattan?
He takes Manhattan.
Yeah, okay. I don't know.
You don't call me Jason Takes Manhattan.
And then have the last fucking 10 minutes of the movie in Manhattan?
He was on a boat. He had to get there first.
Jason takes Listen. Winnipeg. That's what I'm waiting for.
Well, it was shot.
Filmed in Winnipeg.
It was shot in Canada, so
I was gonna say Guy Madden.
Everyone falls asleep.
What I want in Friday the 13th, Kane fucking Hodder.
Why don't they bring it? I love Derek Mears. I didn't mind Derek Mears.
Fine,
but Kane Hodder.
Kane
has
Hodder.
The build.
Kane Hodder is the one who created the character we know and love. He created the stop your body, turn your head, breathe deep, then move. He had a storytelling element to his portrayal of him that most actors beforehand did not have.
He's more than a stuntman.
Okay,
it's like, here's the thing. You put someone behind the Michael Myers mask, you got to have someone good. There are specific people we know are good behind it who have repeated their role, and there are certain people who just don't cut it. Tyler Mayne. And Tyler Mayne was doing something totally different, so I don't hold him against that. And I still.
You mean the best Sabretooth in the world?
He is the best Sabretooth.
The only Sabretooth.
No, Leo Schreiber.
I mean, I wouldn't count.
Doesn't
that,
count.
But I like Leo.
Leo Schreiber's
in the role.
Sabretooth is all right.
It's not the same.
It's not what we need.
It wasn't Sabretooth, though. I know.
But back to Jason, guys.
Back to Friday the 13th. I agree with you on this. Kane Hodder is essential.
Is Jason.
And I don't get why they never gone back to him. Probably because he's holding out for a $200,000 paycheck as opposed to a $150,000.
No, the original reason they got rid of him was because he was not tall enough for Freddy vs. Jason.
That's right.
It's
I forgot
bullshit.
About the Freddy vs. Jason. Because that
it's
was Derek
called
Mears.
Fucking Lord of the Rings. No, that was Ken...
Oh, is
Kieringer?
Derek Mears is only in
only
the new
in
one.
The remake. Yeah.
Oh.
But
I don't even remember that other guy.
Exactly.
Forgettable.
Well,
and Freddy vs. Jason sucked anyway.
So my other question
fun.
about Friday the 13th is that I know they're making the video game, right?
Yeah, which is not tied to this film.
No, is it in three dimensions? Is it virtual reality or is it?
No.
It's a third person. Essentially,
yeah.
It's Evolve.
Is it kind of like what's that game that I love?
Evolve. It's like Evolve.
I don't play video games.
What's the other game that I love?
The Last of Us.
Mario Brothers?
No, the one that Larry Fessenden wrote.
That's The Last of Us, isn't it?
No.
The Last of Us is the one with fake Ellen Page.
Yes, which I have. I have that one. I just didn't play.
Yeah, that's the thing.
The point is, you play third person perspective. You're either a camp counselor or a Jason.
I'd want to be a camp counselor. I mean,
I still
remember
both.
I still remember the old NES game.
I love that game. It's
terrifying.
Well, you just talked about the NES Jason.
Up.
I've got my NES Jason action figure.
When he first showed up in the fucking side scroller section in front of the cabins, I'm like, what the fuck's going on?
Scary,
it's broken.
Because the music starts in the music.
And, like, you're stuck in that spot.
The movie is Until Dawn, by the way. Or the game. The game is Until Dawn.
Larry Fessenden.
I don't know if he was one of the writers or. Well,
okay.
I don't know. But,
it's magically
a
Wendigo shows up.
It's a
Whatever.
Wendigo. Yes, the Wendigo story. But don't go in knowing that because it's a great game.
You just ruined it for me.
You're not going to play it.
When I buy PS4 one day, I would.
You should play it, though, still. You don't need to know it's a Wendigo.
I think it's pronounced Wendigo.
Wendigo.
I was just a kid. I don't know.
Wendigo.
I never heard it in a lot. And,
well, anyway, Jason is a Wendigo, and that's the movie. Nope. So, I guess, yeah. So, the game is, I hope it's something like that, because that would revive it a little bit.
No, it's more like Evolve. That's why I brought it up, because it's like one
we
versus
played
four.
Evolve.
It's the monster, you play as the monster, you play as the heroes. And it's survival. It's coming out this October.
Do you get to choose your own path?
It's more of like a multiplayer game. I don't know if it's a narrative. There hasn't been much of talk about it since the Kickstarter.
I want it to be like...
Wait, you're talking about the Jason game? The Friday the 13th?
Yeah,
I remember the Kickstarter happening. I've seen some video footage of it, just because even though I don't play video games, I'm interested in it.
Why not? It's freaking Friday the 13th.
I know.
Right. So,
I think Kane Hodder did motion capture.
So you just want...
Kane Hodder's back.
You just want Kane Hodder.
Well, I think Kane Hodder really nailed the character, and they haven't, for some reason, used him since. I mean...
Even though he was in Jason Goes to Hell, which is one of my least favorite Jason
movies. I love that movie.
The whole hopping thing. They did get... The hunter guy was great. I don't even remember his name, but he was fantastic.
Oh, God, yeah.
Yeah, I don't know. Maybe I need to rewatch that one. No, I just... for a good Friday the 13th movie, I'd like to see someone who actually enjoys the franchise and understands the camp nature of it without totally taking it in the overly humorous direction.
So, Sean S. Cunningham, back in action.
I mean, I wouldn't hate something of that nature. Bring someone back, maybe, who knows. I know John Carl Buechler. Did I get his name right? Buechler? Whatever his name was. He did Friday the 13th Part 7, actually, is what we were talking about. And, you know, for what it's worth, he understands the franchise. You know, he's a special effects guy. Practical effects, too, are necessary. I don't want to see any CGI Jason blood here.
I agree.
And I also, I don't necessarily want to have to go back and explain why Jason is the way that he is.
Sure, I don't want that either.
I know there's been some talk of Jason's father. Who's Jason's father? I don't care who Jason's father
who gives
is.
A fuck?
I don't care.
It's Kevin Bacon.
I know it's Kevin Bacon. That makes sense. We both know it's Kevin Bacon.
We all know
him and his fucking boner from the first movie. Disgusting.
He got killed.
He got spoiled.
Is that the arrow? He was the arrow, right? Yeah.
He's underneath the bed.
Practical effects were so good.
Practical effects are great. Tom Savini. Let's see Tom Savini take a crack at something of this nature. Why is Tom Savini or Brody?
I think he's also involved in the game.
Which is great because Tom Savini did the visual effects, and I love Tom Savini's 1999 Living Dead. I feel like he never really got the opportunity to show himself as a director. And now he's kind of stuck in kind of straight to video schlock if he directs something or kind of acts in something. And there's appeal when he does something of that nature. It adds to the merit of that film. But at the same time, I think he had more talent than he was ever given credit for.
Sure.
I'd love to see Tom Savini do that.
I'd like to see Larry Fessenden write it.
Sure. I mean, Larry
Fessenden. He could even be Jason.
I mean, I don't think it's quite his thing, but.
He could even be Jason.
No.
Yeah, you're right, though. What I don't want to see is an origin story of some bullshit kind.
Like, no.
I don't even want to see him drowning, you know? We get it. We don't have to see it.
If you're doing the opening credits and you want to show that, great.
Fine.
We don't need to know that Jason drowned. You could even just tell the myth around a campfire. I mean, that's what they do in, like, half the movies anyway. But sometimes intercut with scenes of the previous film.
Which I think they've done that, too.
Yeah, they've done it. For me, at least, Hatchet 2. If you haven't seen the Hatchet films from Adam Green. You saw the first one?
Yeah.
For me, the second one nails the tone entirely.
Really? So what if Adam Green did it?
I don't know if Adam Green would be interested in doing it, but something of that nature. Someone of that nature.
I mean, if Adam Green was involved, definitely Kane Hodder would come back.
I mean, imagine this. Jason Voorhees versus Victor Crowley. Throwing it out there. Why not?
Hard to pull off with just one Kane Hodder. We'd have to clone the guy.
Would it? No, well, Adam Green knows Derek Mears. I'd take Derek Mears versus...
Derek Mears as Victor Crowley.
No.
Yes.
He's not the stalkiness. He doesn't have the stalkiness.
I don't care.
You just want Kane Hodder.
Yes, I want Kane Hodder as Jason. That's why I said can't work.
All right, and then, at the end, we'll throw Robert Englund in as Freddy.
See, that's the problem. Like, see, to me, like, that's why I want Kane Hodder, because with a faceless villain,
right,
you don't have to have any in particular, but because Kane Hodder did such a great job, really established the character, that's why I want him back.
Right.
Whereas, like, Freddy, when Jackie Earle Haley did it...
Yeah.
It was like, it was over the top, it was too dark, it was pointless.
Still, I'm not going to say it's his fault.
No, not his fault, but still, not the right
visual effects. But they're trying to bring it back to its original, too, and where it's more horror, and it just wasn't.
By the way, you'll notice also the movies that we're talking about that don't work.
Platinum Dunes? Michael Bay's production company?
Although, Platinum Dunes, that logo is, I believe, in front of all of the Purge films.
Yeah, but I'm just saying from a standpoint of these
reboots. I like first films.
The concept of these rebooting, the concept of rebooting these older horror films, it traditionally has not worked.
Except for Texas Chainsaw Massacre.
But
I like that one.
Once.
I like that one.
Once.
Yeah, but that's because they had Marcus Nispel, and Marcus Nispel at that point was fresh. And maybe when you start listening to fans too much, no offense to fans, but when they demand that Jason have the mask, and Jason do this, and Jason do that, then you're listening to these things, you're checking, it's like checking all the boxes off.
And that's the problem.
And you know what? I would have been fine with Friday the 13th, Part 2, Sackface Jason. Sackface Jason's my favorite type of Jason.
Really?
He's my favorite
type of Jason. Not even NES Jason?
Yeah, no. Sackface Jason beats NES Jason.
Wow.
And that's because Part 2 is... I've said Part 4 is my favorite, but Part 2 could be up there. Part 2 is so good. So good.
Yeah, but I guess my point is that they have good. I hear you like 5 times. My point is just like they haven't seemed to master how to bring these characters back yet. They can't do it.
Well, the Friday the 13th films also, part of the problem is it's not about Jason. It's about the campers. And
sure.
It is. It's about the campers.
Right.
And you have to have, like, okay, we all remember, and I don't remember his name necessarily, but we all remember the guy in Part 1 who was chopping wood, who had the mustache, who, like, was running the camp. Iconic character. Strangely iconic. I don't know. I think there are some great characters in those movies. Even though they're not, what we know, it's about the human character.
Yeah. Well, I mean, that makes sense. The problem is, these movies nowadays, these horror movies, are, for the most part, of a certain type that doesn't fit with these characters. Like, Adam Green did a service to the old type with Victor Crowley and Hatchet. And whereas like most films nowadays, like when they remade Nightmare on Elm Street, when they remade Friday the 13th, those were lesser of that extent. But now it's like, oh, here's Lights Out. Here's even as good as they are, Insidious or Conjuring. They're good. But
what I'm hearing is James Wan.
That'd be cool. No, that'd be fine. I'm just saying.
There's nowhere in James Wan to do a freaking Friday the 13th.
Saw, man.
But no, I think for the most part, horror movies suck now. 100%. I mean, I say 80%.
I agree with that in part.
Did you see The Witch?
I did see The Witch.
I know you don't like it that much.
I appreciate it. I just don't really care for it.
I get that.
Remaking these characters with the 80s, that's why I think Back to the Future will never work. It had a certain like zeitgeist.
You can't remake something of that nature.
But then they tried with, even that wasn't 90, but Total Recall, you know, RoboCop. They've tried with those characters, those...
Point Break.
Point Break.
What were they thinking?
No Patrick Swayze, no sale.
Name,
that's very recognition,
money.
No, but it didn't work, and it never has worked.
No.
It has never worked, and it doesn't work with horror. It works better with horror than other things, but it's still, they're going to bring back the Scream TV series is there, but they'll start recycling that junk, and you're going to start seeing more and more junk recycled, guys.
Well, I think it's, part of it is also the fact that they're trying to bring it to a new generation. When that generation's watching these in the past, again, I mentioned Stranger Things earlier. I'm still arguing that. Yeah, but people want that nostalgia factor, but they don't want the nostalgia factor brought to modern times. Like, I don't watch the Friday the 13th movies because I want to, you know, see what it would be like nowadays. I don't care about Jason nowadays. I watch it because that was a piece of the 80s, and like you said, you can't recapture that. So why not go back and try to recapture it in its own time period?
That would be better. I mean, did you guys see The Final Girls?
I saw Final Girls, yeah.
No.
Good times, fun.
It was okay.
It did fit that 80s tone.
No. The idea was there. Yeah. I didn't necessarily like the transportation aspect, which I thought was just kind of... That took me cheap. Out of it. Yeah. It didn't really sell me on it entirely. I liked it, though. I know a lot of people who really liked that movie, so I'm not going to knock it. And I feel like that's what Texas Chainsaw Massacre, the original, did.
Yeah?
Not the original, the remake. The remake brought it right back to the 70s. And then, of course, the last one, which nobody liked at all...
The Beginning?
Was it called? No, it was called Texas Chainsaw Massacre 3D. It was Texas Chainsaw Massacre 3D.
The third one?
Yeah, there was one after that. It wasn't connected to the previous
two. Was it called Texas Chainsaw?
It was called Texas Chainsaw 3D. Period. Yeah. And it starred, what's her name?
Daddario.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh.
It was.
I should watch it now.
I didn't hate it.
I watched San Andreas mostly for her.
San Andreas, I didn't hate it.
When you do that highest pitch,
I didn't hate it.
No shit, actually, but, you know.
San Andreas is a stupid, you know, disaster movie, and I love that. And The Wave, actually. If you haven't seen The Wave, for disaster movies, watch The Wave. It's a foreign film. It's great.
But back to Friday the 13th. And...
You can edit that part out. The Wave is great, though.
Joel, you never said what you wanted.
What do I want?
What did you want to make it good?
I wanted them to make original films. So instead of trying to you know, come up with something derivative that they think is going to make money, a quick cash grab, which is what this is going to be and what all these remakes are, essentially, which is why I say the fact that, you know, the Friday the 13th and the Nightmare on Elm Street and ultimately
Texas Chainsaw Massacre, throw that in there too.
Which was successful at first and eventually just petered out. All these movies, they just aren't successful, so... Why don't we, like with what New Nightmare did, for example.
Love that movie.
Doing New something Nightmare's different, fantastic. Doing something original with the characters if you're going to want to do it. Or doing something different entirely. Like you mentioned, what was it, Hatchet?
Hatchet, yeah.
Yeah, like taking that and making something your own. So I think that we just need to, you know, even The Conjuring, which does kind of have a throwback feel to it, it feels original though at the same time, and I want more originality. I'm tired of these retreads or going with whatever's popular at the time and saying, well, this worked for Texas Chainsaw, so let's do it for all of these remakes and try to create a super group of monsters who fight each other in the end, just like Marvel did and just like DC is going to try to do.
And the Universal Monster movies.
The Universal Monster.
Which he's going to defend Tom Cruise. This is going to turn into a Tom Cruise.
I'm
going to
defend Tom Cruise, but I will not defend anything else about that franchise.
Anyway,
I love Tom
but
Cruise.
My point is that what we need to do is we need to think about it differently entirely and just go back to the drawing board and say, what can we do if you're gonna bring back these characters, what can we do with them that is unique and different and that has an original voice and has a purpose? And not to say that the originals did, and that's fine. They live in their own little world back in 1985, but what can we do with them now in 2015, 2016? Oh, wow. I just got the year wrong. 2016, that is, that speaks to the characters that they are. But that's what I want.
I know, I would be better that way.
Or Eli Roth. Take your pick.
Eli Roth's doing Deathwish.
That's cool, too. Oh, that's cool. I'm down with that.
I see it.
I do think, though, that we as horror fans, and I think that all three of us here are horror fans, the next wave of horror storytelling is going to come through VR. So we better get ready
that's
for it.
That's fun.
You can see it's already started with that.
VR, a lot of things are starting with that.
Yeah, VR horror is really fun.
It is, and I haven't played it yet personally, but I'm going to sound, you know, in 5 or 6 years when someone digs up this podcast, they're going to look back at me and think that I'm, like, really low-tech, but, man, I just think that I've seen things for it, and I'm just, like, super excited the fact that what they can do now is beyond what some horror filmmakers could dream of. Like,
well, they probably dreamed of it.
But they can absolutely create your nightmare in real time, in your space.
Or we could just have The Purge.
Or we could have The Purge.
Curated
attention. Yeah, so that's this episode,
that's
I believe.
This episode, yeah. I think that's
episode
when we
24.
The Purge, that's it.
Yeah. Not Quite Hollywood. Obviously, we're on Facebook. Same name, Not Quite Hollywood. Give us a like there. Give us a comment. You know, what did you think about your points on, you know, the Friday the 13th remake? What would you like to see come out of that? You know, what do you think about the hype train? Not so much about the short films, because that's bullshit.
That's a terrible topic. But seriously, though, go to Short of the Week and check out some of the films, because they're great.
So shortoftheweek.com?
Yeah.
That sounds... I've never heard of that before.
Oh, you should check it out. It's great. They have...
It's there?
It's there. It exists.
Great. I mean, the genres that I look for, particularly horror, documentary, a bunch of other things. But the Thunder Road short that I mentioned earlier is on there. So if you want to check that out, if you're into that sort of thing, go for it. But that's a crap topic.
And it's not. It's all right. It's a good time.
It's all right.
We talked about it for like half an hour or so.
I don't know about that.
25 minutes.
Yeah,
whatever.
Sure. But give me that.
Notquitepod@gmail.com if you have any long form questions. Do you guys have anything to plug?
I have nothing to plug.
You're a teacher. You
except
like teaching.
I'll plug. If you guys haven't seen, there's a film called The Mind's Eye, so, directed by Joe Bigos. No, we'll look at that. I am a fan of the film. I probably have overhyped it at this point. But the hype train, we'll see how it works there. Anything to plug, Joel?
JoelTalksMovies.com. Yeah, that doesn't exist anymore.
Joel what? Does movies?
Joel Talks Movies. He doesn't do that.
I don't do it anymore.
Is it still active?
Nope.
No, is the website still there?
I think it's still there.
I don't think so.
JoelTalksMovies.com.
No, I don't think it's there. It's not there.
If it's there,
it's not there.
I think it might be.
Somebody archived it.
It's I think we're going to use archive it. I think sure that's not there anymore.
You write sometimes?
Yeah, I write sometimes. You can follow me on Twitter @JoelCrabtree. Yeah, that's where you can find most of my good stuff.
I mean, if anyone wants to follow me, I'm on Twitter as well. AC12262.
Making
it very difficult.
Made his name, right?
Anthony Crabtree's taken.
Yeah, so at Joel Crabtree. At AC something something something
well,
something
since,
12262.
If you want to follow me on Twitter while we're at it, guy on a wire. I don't really do much anymore.
I'm following you. I haven't seen any updates since I've been following you.
Yeah, sorry. You'll see some stuff once in a while. But yeah, so follow us on Twitter. I guess.
Tweet at us.
Yeah, tell us what you think about Joe Bigos.
Or Tony. Or Joel, if you haven't heard them before. It's fun. I definitely see the brother. Mentality here, like a lot of the squabbling. I'm there with my brother, so I get it.
Yeah, it's fun, right?
No, you're right. Shaking your head, no. All right, that's it. I'm Jamie.
I'm Joel.
I'm Tony.
Have a good night.